Well, Nikki Hager says the enormous amount of resources that went into investigating the theft of emails from blogger Cameron Slater points to political pressure on the police. The High Court ruled yesterday that the police executed a fundamentally unlawful search warrant when they raided his home in their pursuit of the hacker who supplied the stolen emails to him. In challenging the legality of the raid, Hager says it became apparent the police went particularly hard in the investigation, given the nature of the crime.
There was a strong pressure on the police to go hard on me. And we do know from what we saw in the documents that they put more effort into pursuing me and my sources, like maybe hundreds of times more effort than they put into equivalent crime. Something very unusual was going on with the case.
Well, Felix Gehringer is Nikki Hager's lawyer. What was that unusual thing that was going on?
What was unusual? I think what Nikki's talking about is just the level of effort. We saw literally dozens of police officers working on this case and working on it from a very early stage, working on it at least 10 days, if not several weeks, before there was even a complaint filed. And the police, in arguing this case before the court, were very insistent that this was not in any way unusual, that this was an obligation that the police had in every single criminal matter and that they had to investigate every possible avenue, and it would be negligent of them to fail to do that. But the problem with that is I think anybody who has made a complaint to the police in recent years, if you've been burgled or had anything similar happen to you, and you've gone and you've told the police, you just know that that's not true. You're lucky these days for a crime of that level if you can get the police to come and fingerprint your house. So,
It might be useful to discuss the extent of the search, because not everyone's going to have read the judgment. It started at 8:20 in the morning, finished at 6 at night, right? 6:30 at night. They've gone through absolutely everything, including scraps of paper they found on the ground that included numbers of people, an elderly couple he met on the plane, a Norwegian journalist, people who had nothing to do with this investigation. They've searched his daughter's underwear drawer in the course of this search.
Yeah, you know, if searches happen, that's what happens. When a police search your house, they really do search your house, which is why searches shouldn't be happening very often. They shouldn't be happening unless they're really needed and only in unusual circumstances. They're not a everyday occurrence for everybody. You don't want the police, you know, going through your underwear drawer every day. Hopefully never. So there's quite a high threshold before you search. I don't think the fact that the search was so thorough in itself was surprising or unusual. What was surprising and unusual and, in fact, unlawful was the fact that they were searching Nikki at all. I mean, you've got to remember he wasn't even a suspect by the time they searched his house.
Had said publicly that he knew who the hacker was, and he had been in contact with them and he had met them on various occasions. He said that in a public forum. So if you're the police investigating a crime punishable by 7 years in prison, as this one was, the hacking of Cameron Slater's computer, then wouldn't you try to search his house, given he knew who had done it and he had been in contact with them?
We got the same punishment, I think, for any theft of something worth more than $1,000. So, you know, would you expect the police to do that for every theft of something worth more than $1,000? I really don't think you would. But, I mean, we also know from the police documents that they had many reasons to believe, and in fact it seems did believe, that they weren't going to find anything at Nikki's house. They knew that the hacker had been communicating with people using these encrypted systems that meant that they weren't going to find any evidence. They made notes of that in relation to Nikki's house. And this is reflected in the judgment, where the judge says that actually this reasonable belief that the police claimed that they were going to find evidence was probably better characterised as a hope. And in New Zealand, a hope is not enough to go...
Okay. So why then, Felix, would they search the house if they didn't have a belief that it would lead them to material that would assist them in their investigation? You're saying that this was just, what, a warning or some sort of...
Well, I think it's the classic fishing expedition. I'm not saying that they didn't think that there was going to be anything They hoped that there was going to be something there. They just didn't have evidence that showed them that there was going to be something there, which is what you need before you search someone. But it was a speculation, a gamble. Maybe Nikki had been careless. Maybe something had been lying around. And so let's give it a go.
Okay.
And in New Zealand, you do not search people in those circumstances.
Okay. We're running out of time, but just quickly, what happens now? Are there still aspects, strands to this case to unravel? Costs, for example?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot to go in this case. We haven't had the hearing about the invasion of Nikki's bank accounts. And the judge put some other issues to one side. We're going to have to revisit them. And then, yes, there's questions of cost, there's questions of damages.
Mm. Thanks very much for joining us. Do really appreciate your time. Felix Gehringer there, he's the lawyer for Nikki Haga.